461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. As we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the Truth Book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, if we are wondering what is right, what is wrong, what is true, what is false, I recommend that we look to the Word of God, the Truth Book, the B-I-B-L-E. Psalms 117:2 says the truth of the Lord endures forever. And yet we live in a society today where there's a mindset that everybody has their own version of truth. In fact, it was the secularist George Orwell of yesteryear that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, truth is truth, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, a Democrat or Republican. Truth is truth, whether you believe the Bible or reject it. Truth is truth, regardless of what coast you live on, the left coast or the right coast. Truth is still truth. I go back to a famous quote from the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Jim DeMint, in a major article that he'd written, he warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint said. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that is absolutely validatable today. We have a deficit in truth because of the deficit in studying the Bible, reading the Bible, applying the Bible in our lives. In fact, one writer recently said, as we see the apostasy taking place, the void in what is called Christendom, the church, we're seeing that void filled by other isms, and I call it isms and schisms, other mythology and other false teachings that's filling in that gap. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm surprised and saddened to read an article. The latest survey says most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. The article goes on to read 55% of the Americans 18 to 35 year old age group say that each person determines their own version of truth. Because keep in mind, the survey says most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. I'm looking at another frightening article. Headline reads, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. And the article goes on to say, A significant number of our country's most serious problems have their roots in higher education. There is no more serious problem than the notion fashionable in academia today, and even for decades, that truth is relative, or that it is a matter of individual perception, or even cultural mores, or even that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's, if you want to point to one specific thing that I believe has brought about the implosion of morals and ethics and values in America, would be the fact that we've left the truth book. You see, when you look at the scripture, we see God's word, and in God's word tells us what has been in the past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. As the God progressively reveals himself to man in the Bible, Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, verse 21, we find that God is telling us what shall take place. We'll be talking about some of that today, because the issue today, the thoughts and communication and conversation today, wars and rumors of wars. I know from a Christian perspective, from a central biblicist perspective, multitudes say, well, I already know that. Do you? Are we familiar with what God says about war? Are you familiar with what Hakeem Jeffries is saying now as the minority leader in the House? That even in 4 days in the war, he's already predicting and saying that America, Trump will lose the war. That ought to give encouragement to our troops, shouldn't it? We're going to talk about that. There are those that are touting the fact that this is an unjust war. And they're basing it on what is called a just war theory by some of the church fathers of yesteryear, being promulgated and pushed today. It has a relative element of truth in it. We'll talk about it. What is a just war? When do we make the determination that this war is what God would have us to do? How do we decide that? What are the elements? What are the barometers and the rails in which we make that determination and analyze should we go to war? It goes back to truth, ladies and gentlemen. It was the former theologian and church reformer of the 15th century, Jan Hus, that made this statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast, that we need to seek the truth. You won't find it on the Communist Network News. We need to listen to the truth. You won't find it on most news outlets as you roll the dial. Learn the truth. Love the truth. Tell it. Live it. And stand and be willing to defend the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's where the water hits the wheel. As the old cliche, where the rubber hits the road. Is so many we have today that say that they're saved and are unwilling to stand and defend the truth. There's some today that realize that what Trump is doing is true and is right, but yet afraid to stand and defend it. May I do a little parenthetical Youngblood footnote? Charlie Kirk was assassinated because he stood on truth, stood for truth, promulgated truth, was willing to defend the truth, even to death. And may I say to you, not that we need to be martyrs, I'm not advocating that aspect of lifestyle, but to be willing to stand. And as we look at what is happening around the globe, I've said for many, many, many years, every Christian, every conservative, we need to look at what is happening locally, statewide, nationally, internationally, and globally through the prism of the Word of God. And that is the case for today. If we look at what is happening in relationship to the war in Iran, is it a just war? Is it right biblically? Does it meet up with the scriptural category of war? And what does the Word of God say about wars? Does God say everything's going to be peaceful? Does God tell us in His Word that there'll be no more wars? Listen, there's coming a day when wars will be no more. There's coming a day when peace and prosperity and plenty, as I use the statement, will flood the earth. And that's when the Lord Jesus Christ returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and rules and reigns here on this earth out of this temple, new rebuilt temple that shall be in Jerusalem, as the Lord Jesus Christ rules and reigns for 1,000 years. There will be peace, no more war. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, according to the prophetic text, especially found in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13, it warns us that there will be wars and rumblings. The words rumors, that's better understood, rumblings. Wars and rumblings of wars. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment with the homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, floats the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, and oftentimes I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Let me read at the outset of this broadcast today, let me just read a few verses from Matthew 24. It sets the stage. By the way, Matthew 24 and 25, a couplet of two chapters, both chapters talking about prophetic events, future events in this day in which we're living in, giving us an understanding of what to expect, what to look for, and what the signs are, as some refer to it. And we look at the 24th chapter of Matthew, verse 4 and following, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must, M-U-S-T, must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to urge you to understand what we see taking place in the Middle East today, what we see taking place on a global basis today, what we see taking place with nation coming against nation and wars and rumors of wars, is not the end, but it's the beginning of the end, the beginning of sorrows. But the Lord Jesus warns us in this text, don't be troubled. That means don't be worried, don't be anxious, don't be bothered, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're forewarned in the Scripture as to what to expect. The Word of God gives us insight clearly, but it also, Jesus answering his disciples' questions, what are the signs of the end times? And Jesus is telling them here in this text, and he's saying, don't you worry, don't you be frightened, don't you be concerned, overly so. Now listen, I talk about much of these things every day. I can put my head on the pillow at night and sleep like a baby. I'm not worried. In fact, let me just simply say this. As I witness these things coming about, some are concerned and some are worried and frightened about it. I'm not, because I know that all of this is in the hand of the Lord, that God has it in control. God's still on the throne. God's not asleep. He's not on a vacation. He's not wondering about what can I do about things that's out of hand in this old world. It's a warning, but the Bible says the end is not yet. So just what is it saying? What are we to understand? I believe, ladies and gentlemen, as much as we would rather not face war, as much as we had rather not be involved in a war, I believe we need to understand war indicates death and destruction. And the Bible tells us that there's a time for war. In fact, it's a wonderful study, ladies and gentlemen, found in Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, this should set the stage so that we understand what God's Word says about wars and rumors of wars. In the third chapter of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, speaking out of a total wisdom background, says, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose, a time to every purpose under the heavens, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Verse 3, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, together a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. Verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So, ladies and gentlemen, that sets the stage where God's Word, God Himself, tells us there's a time for everything. So as we watch what is taking place in the Middle East, I can simply say with ease and without a worry in my heart at all that it is a time for war. And as you study the Scripture, ladies and gentlemen, there's a time for war to make sure that the enemy of God, the enemy of the church, the enemy of the nation, will be destroyed and not allow the enemy to destroy what God is wanting to do. And ladies and gentlemen, we witness today a war against Iran. And as we see the war against Iran, ladies and gentlemen, we see people like the U.S. House of Representatives, Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, that said America will lose the war. And I just asked the question, what? What are you meaning America is going to lose the war? Just 4 days in? And the battle, ladies and gentlemen, has been thus far highly successful. By the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Let me ask you a question. Should we be at war in Iran? Should we have unleashed the powers of our military, linked with the powers of the military with Israel? Should we have gone into the war? What is the end result, in your opinion? Why does this mean so much from the standpoint of a Christian? Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the coming together, the seeming together, the knitting together of the global aspect of what God says will take place in the last days. We're witnessing the coming together, ladies and gentlemen, whether you see it on the surface right now. We're witnessing the coming together of China, of Russia, of Iran, of Syria, Turkey, by the way, just broke silence this morning and started challenging because of some of the things that's happening, that maybe Article 5 needs to be put in place. Article 5 means that it's NATO and China, and Turkey is a part of NATO. So therefore, because a missile has fallen on the territory of Turkey, that somehow, some way, NATO should be called in and all of the nations should come together. In other words, what Turkey is saying, if you put it in the young blood vernacular, Turkey is saying, let's declare a global worldwide war. That's exactly what Turkey is saying. Turkey hates America. Turkey hates anything that we do, although they're supposed to be an ally. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the scripture in Ezekiel 38 and 39, realize that Turkey will be one of the proponents, one of those that are carrying out the war against Israel, led by the nation of Russia, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39. Some called it the war with Russia. For many years, I've called it the World War III, because we see that, we see the beginnings of it. I believe Jose's on the line. Jose, go over the question or comment, please.
I mean, it's so sad to see these people. I mean, the level of insanity. I mean, I'm talking about the Iranian government. They are attacking countries that have nothing to do with what's going on. They're going after Kuwait, Dubai, Yemen, Jordan, UAE. The level of insanity of these people. So, I mean, they have peace talks. They didn't want to agree to them. So there was no other option. As bad as it sounds, you know what I mean? Imagine if these people had a nuclear bomb. They don't think about it to give it to a terrorist guy to cross to London, Japan, New York, and create chaos worldwide. So they had to be stopped. But the other thing that I don't get is the liberals here in the U.S., I mean, don't they see the Iranians on the street celebrating that this regime is going down? I mean, this is, I don't have no words, brother. Insanity, I guess, is the word that I come to mind. But I what the liberals think? Are they going to let this guy continue with his nuclear program?
You're exactly right. Let me jump in. Hang on a minute. Let me jump in and answer a couple of questions. Most of our citizens in America have not heard the truth. They do not realize that with three people in the room, Witkoff talking head for Iran, and one of the others that Trump has been using to develop a peace talks and try to negotiate peace with Iran, seated in that room one day before we struck Iran, one day before that took place, and the head military person for Iran admitted that they have the refined uranium that will build 11 nuclear weapons, and they will not, quote, will not give them up and will not diminish their work toward that. So once that's said, there's no more talking of peace. There's no more negotiations. In fact, for the past several presidencies, there's been the mindset, let's talk, let's negotiate. And all they've done, and I've said it all along, they've just been buying time. And the time that they've been buying, developing the nuclear weapons and sponsoring and paying for terrorism around the globe as a result of Barack Hussein Obama and shipping them two planes with pallets of cash from all nations for them to utilize. They've used that cash, I believe it's some $68 billion, if I'm not mistaken, that was transported. And that's what Iran's been using. So there's no more peace talks. And so as a result of that, the question is it a just war? Is it right? Was it right for us to go to war against Iran? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, as hard as it might sound, that was the only way to deal with this regime. They had talks, they talked, and they said no. And now that you mentioned, it came to my mind, who empowered them was Biden. Remember Joe Biden? He gave him billions of dollars by it. Mm-hmm. You remember that? He gave him the money that was froze in those Swiss accounts. He gave him back to them. So that now they feel empowered. And when they scream all the time, death to America and death to Israel, you have to take him seriously. Look at what they're doing now. Attacking countries that are not attacking. Kuwait, Dubai. I mean, it's insanity. I don't know what the liberals are thinking, brother.
Well, here's the point, Jose. That money, by the way, was delivered back to them by Obama and not by Biden. But Biden is the one that, when asked the question, when they do this, what do you say? He said, don't. Well, what if they do? Well, just don't. Well, don't didn't work. And it has not worked because of the mindset. And you touched on what is happening with the leadership now still surviving, a portion of it, that's sending the missiles and the weapons and the drones on all of the nations around them. And all of the nations around them happen to be also Islamic. But it's a different sect, S-E-C-T, of Islam. In Iran, it is the Shiite Muslims, the Shias, as they're called. And they believe in their foolish mythology that the whole world needs to be in chaos, confusion, conflict, and war in order for the hidden imam and their doctrinal teaching. There's a 12th imam called the Mahdi that is hidden, and he will not come forth to deliver the world to become Islamics until there's war on a global scale. So their goal there, the Shia Muslims in all of Iran, the leadership, they are promulgating, pushing, desiring that they please by martyrdom, please Allah through coming to a global conflict so that the Mahdi will reappear. That is their goal. That's the mindset. And it's something that is, as you said, it staggers the imagination. Where's their mind? It's all demonically blinded, demonically controlled. What we're witnessing is a demonic battle. And I believe that Trump did the right thing, making the choice, making the decision, go in with a preemptive strike and to win the battle. And I believe God will deliver us, and that battle will be won. And I don't believe it'll be a protracted, elongated war, as with Afghanistan for some 20 years, because the war leaders then in the Afghanistan war for 20 years that took thousands and thousands of our soldiers' lives, I believe that that day and that time is over. Those leaders then looked at it on the basis that we can win the battle by appeasement. God's word says, as he spoke to Joshua going into the promised land, is to slay, to kill, to destroy all the enemies. And I'll read that a little later, but that's what we have failed to do. We failed to be obedient to the word of God. Jose, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Now just simply take a moment, and in Joshua the 6th chapter and in verse 21 in particular, the Bible says, "And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox, and sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword." And then in the 8th chapter of the same book, that is in Joshua, in verse 24 through 29, it recites that again, 24 and 29. "And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of the slaying of all the inhabitants, Ai, in the field, in the wilderness, wherein they chased them, and when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And it was so," verse 25, "and it was so that all that fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai," that's the city that is spoken of there. So, ladies and gentlemen, God's word says, as he was telling Joshua to go in and claim and then disperse the promised land, that you need to kill the enemies when you go in. And the only way for there to be peace is to go in and make peace and do the preparation. We're going to talk about a little further in the broadcast today. What are the key principles in what is called a just war? What did Augustine say? What did others say? What are some, in fact, what is the Pope saying today? The Pope is chiding, chafing at the bits, and saying that Trump ought not to go to war, ought not to do what he's doing, etc., etc. I think it's time that we listen to the Word of God and not some man that thinks he's God, believes that he's God in some fashion. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have a caller on the line. Davis, go over the question to comment, please.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. You know, what Trump has done reminds me of the story in the Bible where it said if the man of the house would have known what time the thief would have come, he would have set up a watch for him. I think Trump has very well understands that just as soon as Iran gets their hands on a deliverable nuclear bomb, we will be attacked, and so will all our allies be attacked. And so he took this preemptive option there to destroy what the enemy has he was going to use against us, and I commend him for that.
Absolutely. I'm thankful that God's given him wisdom. I'm thankful that God has divinely intervened and placed him in the Oval Office. I'm thankful that God's given him the tenacity and the backbone, the spine, to take a stand and do what is right, regardless of whether the enemies within the camp, i.e. AOC and the other three, as I call it, Ilhan Omar and all of the others that are saying nay, 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 and Hakeem Jeffries that's already declaring that we've lost the war, that we cannot win. I'm saddened. I'm ashamed to see what is happening, but I believe that God has given Trump the spine of the backbone to win. I'm thankful for that. Brother Davis, God bless you, and thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. We're going to take the top of the hour news break right after the news. Be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTRJ.